We also are over in the dark over there. Y'all like the ninjas over there in the shadows. My name is Todd Watrous, for those who may not know any guests that we might have. Anyways, I once again have the privilege to have been recruited by Cleo Tarver. Yes, there he is, brother. It's right there in the middle. We love you, brother. Back in, I don't know when it was, maybe August, early September, Cleo would come and ask, "Hey, I got to get you to teach. Just tell me when." So I told him, "I'll just take winter quarter," because I said, "Well, winter quarter, one thing I like about it is that there's not as many nights because of the holidays and stuff. You miss a few." Which I, you know, I said, "Well, okay, I might be able to work that out with everything going on." And then all of a sudden, next thing I had, you know, as it would be, our brother Corey Waddell announces that third week of October, he's leaving. So it works out. So as one of the deacons of the youth and also part-time youth minister for hopefully a temporary stay, and also member of the youth minister selection committee, it's actually sort of fun. So here's what this is. Back in during the summer sometime, I started reading John chapter 17. It was one of those days where you sit down and I sort of open up the Bible. And some reason I just started reading a passage from this. And then as I was reading a passage, I went back through and I read it again. And I was thinking to myself, isn't it interesting how you can read the Bible and go back through and read it again and it's something's new? I don't care if you've read it 188 times before. It amazes me. You can go through the same scriptures and all of a sudden, bam, wait a minute, how did I miss that? So I guess I've never really paid attention to this prayer except for certain parts of it. So I started reading it. Well, then I said, well, you know, in order to understand this a little bit more, I wanted to know a little bit more of the setting. So the setting, to get an idea of what's going on, you really have to grasp John chapters 13 leading up to to chapter 17, just to understand what's going on. And this whole setting in the Gospel of John, Jesus in chapter 13 has now, they've moved away from the crowds, and he has gathered with his core disciples, the apostles. And then he gives them what some scholars call a discourse. But he does. He goes through and he gives some of the most powerful scriptures that have been quoted by brothers and sisters for hundreds and hundreds of years, at least here in this part of the world. So we're going to actually look at some of those tonight. And so as we do this class, and before I get going any further, I need some volunteers to pass out some stuff. You got something, my brother? All right. I'm going to give my... Oh, I do get one. Good. I think I'll be fine, brothers. Thank y'all very much. If y'all could just... This is basically it. Yeah. That would probably have been easier. This is sort of an outline of the class, if you will. There may be some... there's some discussion around changing up some things. First of all, on January 1st, there will not be Wednesday night singing. But there won't be a class here, at least for me. So as far as this class goes, and then on January 8th, we might actually do singing that night, so I might not be teaching the class that night either. So we're going to work that out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Very interesting. So that ends up about 8 classes if we do that. And this is the other interesting part. As you'll note, as you get these things, we're going to have this class tonight, the intro class. Then next week we're going to have the next class. And then after that, well, you don't have to listen to me for a while. So that means that I have to come back in the new year, and I have a section on there where I call it the refresher. So we're going to come back and sort of the post-New Year reminder. And so I'm going to have to basically, I guess, remind even myself probably, but we're going to get back into this class again. So it is sort of an unusual quarter to teach in. So I tried to come up with a summary of why this class, one, perfected in unity, which I forgot to type and put up there, but one perfected in unity is taken from John chapter 17, but it's actually, as you look through the chapters 13 through 17, you actually see this discussed by Jesus many times with the apostles. So one perfected in unity. Our preacher Ken, when he was reading through this, he said, you know, there's this chain of love in here. And I said, yeah, you know what? Jesus over and over and over again keeps reminding the apostles there is the Heavenly Father. There is me. He loves me. I have loved you. He loves you. And there's this constant chain that Jesus is talking about. We're going to cover that and hopefully many more scriptures talking about a love that makes us one, that unifies us as one with our Heavenly Father. So that's one of the themes that you see throughout this. You know, as I get going here, I just realized that I need some help with my eyesight here. Just a second. I keep forgetting I need reading glasses on occasion. Thank you very much, brother. If anyone needs another one, just let us know. We have a few copies. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and read a what I call a sort of a summary, if you will. I went through and I highlighted some of the key points or phrases that Jesus talks about in John chapter 17. So what you're about to hear is a summary of John chapter 17. God's glory through His Jesus. God gave Jesus authority over all flesh. He now can give eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus Christ, the glory of God. This pretty much is a summation of the first five verses of chapter 17. Then it continues on. One with God because of Christ, keeping them in your name, my joy made full in them. We're going to discuss that concept right there. Given the word of God, hated by the world, not of this world. We're going to discuss that quite a bit in one of our classes. Keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth, your word. Sent into the world, this is also for the future believers. One, perfected in unity, God's authority and love. Reward of faith is eternal life. What the world has not known, God in Christ, what the world has not known is God. Yet in Christ, and because of Christ, we know God sent Christ. God's love of Christ and Christ in His people. So I know it sounds sort of cryptic. So now I'm going to read this chapter to you. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm trying to set this up. I want you to get in this mindset of what the power of what Jesus is saying. I'm hoping that when we're done with this class, that at least everybody in here will at least pick up on one thing that they can carry with them through the rest of their days on this earth. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you have gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. I ask on your behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. All right. So, you go through here and you start trying to make an outline. You start going into this, you start trying to look at it and dig into it. And guess what? There's a whole lot of meat to go after here. You ever heard that, you know, that term, you know, more, you bit off more than you can chew? It's one of those intimidating things. But I'm going to tell you what. As many times as I've read through chapter 17, I have never slowed down, I don't think, to really understand what Jesus is talking about. And what he's talking about is actually very powerful. And I'm hoping that I can, for those who may not see it, I can convey that to you during this class. So when Jesus is talking, who is Jesus talking to? Talking to God. It's one of those times you can answer like a teenager. God, Jesus. No, anyway. So, yes, he's talking to his heavenly Father. This is a pretty incredible prayer. So when I slowed down and I listened to what he was saying, and then I backed up and realized to whom he was saying it, all of a sudden I had to slow down, stop, and take a deep breath. Because sometimes when I'm reading these things, I'm reading words. And I'm not reading the passion that was behind the words. And when I'm reading these things, sometimes I see the words and I don't think about what the intent and the power is. But that Jesus spoke with his heavenly Father about these things. This is the kind of scriptures that you really have to study. And that we have this recorded, a conversation with our Lord and Savior Jesus speaking with now our Heavenly Father. This is some powerful stuff, y'all. So, with that said, if you're down on the bottom of the sheet, you'll notice that I've been reading several commentaries. All right, I've got the Pulpit Ministers. What was it? The Pulpit Commentaries, Burton Kaufman. I can't name a couple of the other ones, but I've been reading a lot of commentaries. So what I did is I isolated a couple of things because I don't know a lot of these men on here. I know the first character. That's Ken Stegall up there, y'all. But anyways, I asked Ken, and I didn't intend to put this on here. But I'd sent him an email, I don't know, about a month ago. And I just said, hey, is there anything that just sticks out in chapter 17 that you just want to, you know, that you can enlighten me with? And so anyways, he had just made some comments as he was going through looking at it. And I decided, I took these comments out of his email. You know, this whole prayer is about the things God has given his son Jesus and their purpose and goal. The ultimate goal, verse 2, give eternal life to all those you have given me. And in verses 24 and 26, there's the chain of love that we mentioned a while ago. Did you hear that? And towards the end, how many times Jesus said, they, we, us, one. Jesus is like, have you ever seen a rope maker? Has anyone ever seen anyone make rope? You know what a rope looks like, right? You know how they take all those individual twines? Well, first they have to make the first, and I'm not talking any of these little nylon or polyester ropes, y'all. I'm talking about like a rope for a ship. I'm talking like a man rope. You ever seen those things? Well, they have to intertwine each twine. And then from there they start intertwining the twines they've made and keep making larger ones until they've wrapped them and braided them. And they've intertwined those into it's an awesome art. And at one time it was an art. But when they get done, how strong is that rope compared to that individual twine they started making it out of? It's incredible. the amount of tensile strength they have. Jesus, right here, as an analogy, is making this rope of the true and perfect love that comes from our Heavenly Father through Jesus, and that because of Him, now we are part of that rope. Jesus is talking to God about making us part of them. That's power. It's not the kind of power that you get just crazy on and abuse. It's the kind of power that it should give us hope, and it should give us joy, which goes to the point that Jesus mentioned a couple of times. He talks about this joy, His joy being made complete in them. We're going to talk about that more at a later date. Because let me tell you something about your brother Todd. In today's world, I have a lot of issues with things going on. And sometimes I let my hope and my joy just sort of drain out of me. I let this world influence me too much. This kind of stuff here, as I've been studying it, has been lifting me up. So if there's something else to get out of this, study the Word of God. Study the Word of God more than you study news headlines or tweets. What God intends for us through His Son Jesus, through His Holy Word, with His Holy Spirit, is a whole lot more than Todd Watrous has ever reached for. I've settled for half a chocolate chip instead of the whole batch of cookies. So this is what we're... You get into this thing. Have you ever jumped into the water? Deep, deep water. The kind of water where you realize that you are in over your head kind of water. You don't touch bottom. I've been in that kind of water. I can't remember how deep I've actually gone, but I've gone deep enough that I felt like my ears were about to pop or push into my head, let's put it that way. But when you get down there and all of a sudden you start gasping for air because you're not using your air wisely, it's a whole long way back to that surface. And you're just looking at that distant light and you're swimming for your dear life to get to the top, and you want to suck in some air. And you are desperate to suck it in, but you know you can't do it till you clear that water surface up there. And so I started diving into this study. And I've had to come up for air many times. All right. Keep watching that thing. All right. Another quote from John about John chapter 17. He said, "Is the real Lord's Prayer." That was H.L. Hester in 1963. I like to put dates on things if I can find them. I found there's one on here. I couldn't find the date to save my life. But then you have... The next one's by J.R. Dumelow. I only can assume that's how you say that. Christ's High Priestly Prayer, because it is in it, He solemnly consecrated Himself to be priest and victim. Next quote is by G. Campbell Morgan. When we come to this chapter, we are at the center of all sanctities. In 1939, Daniel Poling wrote, "Jesus seemed to sweep away the last physical barrier that separated Him from the world above. He was as one in intimate conversation with God." And James Burton Kaufman in 1974, from his commentary, he wrote, "If this prayer is searched for implications bearing upon the prayers offered by Christians," let's face it, Brother Burton Kaufman, he's a wordy man. I love him. What he's trying to say is, if you're looking for a way to pray or any points to pull out of here for prayer, "The thing that stands out is the priority of God's glory. Before any earthly desire, the desire for the glory of God comes first." And as we read the beginning of that, you saw how Jesus kept going back and forth about glorifying God, about the glory that He would get from glorifying God. So glory is another thing we're going to end up talking about. All right. As I go through this study with you guys, I'm going to be going back to the previous chapters. Once again, 13 through 16. And because Jesus repeats a lot of things, and when somebody's repeating something, this is all happening at the same time, by the way, from 13 to 17, all right, just to clearly understand what's going on. In chapter 18 of John, Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And we all know what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that it is the night that he is betrayed. So Jesus knows what's about to happen. And actually, he mentions that a couple of times in the previous chapters. He's at dinner. He's at dinner with the apostles. They're sitting down at a table, reclining at a table. And he's already mentioned that he's going to be betrayed by one of these. The emotion that Jesus has, I think, is greater than we can ever understand. But I think Jesus, knowing his Father's will, understanding the prophecies of all the scriptures that have come before, understanding the goal of past to this present moment to the future, Jesus talks about a lot of these things right here. And scripture is fulfilled. Prophecies are fulfilled. So, I wanted to go through, and as we're, like I said, as we do a study, I'm going to keep coming back and referencing these previous chapters, but I want you to understand, again, how powerful this section of Scripture is. Because from here, we pull a lot of Scriptures that some of us can just quote, because we've heard them our whole lives. Now, I didn't put them all up here, so if I didn't put your favorite one up here, you're welcome to let me know, and I'll try and work it into the study down the road. So I just went through, and what I did is I just quickly, as I was reading things, I wrote down ones that I know stick out in my head because I've heard them so many times in sermons and devotionals and Bible studies and just doing things with my brethren. Man, I have to work on the size of the font here. All right, then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This is a powerful moment. So this verse isn't so much in one of those verses that stick out, right? But the moment is one that we all know. Jesus is going to wash his disciples' feet. Huh? Including Judas's feet. There's an interesting thought. No, that's right. I think we all recognize this moment as being very powerful. Jesus is setting an example. One that's going to stay with these apostles for as long as they live. Another scripture that you find in this area is, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This sounds familiar, right? In John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Again, as you look at each of these verses, the sections of Scripture that we're looking at, these are a lot of studies, a lot of sermons have been devoted just around these. My point of showing you these as we go through them is to understand how rich an environment, I guess a target-rich environment this is for what Jesus is teaching. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This is right here. You could have a fell pop up right here for me. Is anyone else sometimes fearful of the things going on in our world? Does the day-to-day just get you down? There's a lot of crazy things going on out there, people. And sometimes we just see it at a distance, indirectly through the news, maybe indirect through someone else or a Facebook post that someone might place. But there are brethren in this world, brothers and sisters in Christ at this very moment, that are in fear of their lives, literally, for nothing more than their faith in Christ. And so, I guarantee that if when they read these scriptures, it means a whole lot more to them. And there's a part of me that's ashamed about that, because I just read through these and I don't think what Jesus is really trying to say. In John chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. We'll be looking at this scripture down the road again as we talk about joy. What does it mean to have your joy and his joy made full? This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, when you read that, maybe I'm looking into it, but when you see that greater love has no one than this, that one day lay down his life for his friends, I think Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. There's not a problem there. I don't think the disciples are still quite understanding what he's saying. And then he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I think Jesus is saying to them, I'm going to go die. But all of you are going to be okay for now. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogues. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. So I read this, and for the first time, this popped in my head. Saul. I'm wondering if Jesus is sort of saying, I'm foretelling you're going to meet a character that you have never known before. But if you think about Saul, and we're going to discuss him a little bit more further in one of our lessons. But Saul is hunting down. Matter of fact, the term breathing murderous threats That's pretty intense. That's not threats or threatening, breathing murderous threats. Well, that's who Saul is, right? But then Saul comes back. Remember what happens? Everybody was a little nervous about Saul, and the word is that he had come into Christ and was following the way. When you put yourself in their shoes, you have to admit, I'd be a little nervous that here comes this guy, Saul, who was threatening everybody and hauling people off. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Saul popped in my head, and I don't think it's ever popped in my head. It makes me wonder. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Here we are again. Your joy may be made full. This keeps popping up several times in these scriptures. This one right here is one of those scriptures that is just powerful to me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Does everybody know this verse? This verse is a very powerful verse, y'all. Take courage. I have overcome the world. So what's the summation of all this? Where are we going with all this? Well, I'm hoping we're going to get wet and we're going to get deep into this word as far as possible. I'm hoping that you will find encouragement out of God's word as you hear Jesus and the way he talks to his heavenly Father, and as we look further at the other scriptures that are reinforced by what Jesus is saying. And then we're going to see evidence just in the book of Acts alone. You can see evidence of what Jesus is saying in John chapter 17 coming to fruition. And then maybe in our own lives, we can start realizing that our God, he is alive. And that our faith is not dead. We don't serve a martyr, but we serve a risen Savior. When I think about all the songs that we sing and how often I sing them, I sometimes really get caught up in the singing and I sometimes forget to actually look at the words and think about them. Same thing with reading the Word of God. That's where I'm going to stop tonight. And we'll resume next week. You'll notice that as we look through the verses, it looks like I'm accelerating really fast, but then I slow down towards the end. Because at first I cover 1 through 5, 6 through 12, and then all of a sudden it's 13 through 15, 16. We're going to cover 1 through 5 next week. We're going to look at some other scriptures. I'm going to have some people, hopefully I'll be able to start asking some questions and starting to get some commentary from everybody else in here and have some people help me with some reading as well. Before we go, we're going to say a prayer. If y'all will join me. Almighty God, you are our Heavenly Father. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you have adopted us as your children. Though we were far from you, though we were in the darkness, you came to us with your light. And Almighty God, as we read your word, we pray you would bless our lives with helping us to apply it to our lives. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand not just the words and the concepts, but to also understand the passion behind them, to understand the intent, so that we can go into this world and know your will and bless us with your strength, with your wisdom to know your will, and bless us with courage to do your will. And Almighty God, pray that you would help me as I'm doing this lesson, that I can lay it out in a way that glorifies you and uplifts my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We love you, Lord, and we recognize that you love us greatly because you sacrificed your Son so that we could have life. And we look forward to being in heaven with him forever. We don't know anything really about what that's going to be like, but we simply know that you are God. And we know that your promises never fail, and that your love endures forever. And we thank you for what you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.